Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco. I think what's really good is when we can be open and transparent and talk about things like going to therapy. Like, some people feel weird about that. I'm like all about it. I'm like, on my way to the therapist and at therapy today, the hottest fire marshal walked in and he recognized me from some event, and the therapist and I like go into the room and she's like, oh my God, he was so hot. Who was that? I'm like, I know. He's some hot fireman. In all seriousness, that fire marshal walked in with me he was like literally right behind me. He held the door open for me, and then he's behind me and he's like, oh, are you the person I'm looking for? I'm like,
I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm on fire.
He's there to do an inspection. I was like, he did the whole inspection. He's like, now I know why I know you. And I'm like, that's why the therapist is like, who is that?
Yum.
The highlight of my afternoon.
Something really hot about firemen. There's something not so hot about policemen because they might put you in jail, but a fireman's hot because they're just there to save you.
They're there to save you and give you mouth to mouth and put you over their shoulder and
carry you off
and cool you off and fire you
spray
off.
Spray you with the hose.
Spray you with their big hose.
Oh God.
We choose firemen.
Oh God. Okay.
Okay. All right. Sorry, it just squeaked so loud.
Oh God.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Pitts, mom, wifey, and realtor with BRG, turned mortgage loan officer with U.S. Mortgage.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, hot under the collar about firemen, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results in Carolina Improv. And hey, Rachel, what's new with you?
What's new with me? I have been burning up the phone. I've been burning up the phone so much lately that I might need the fire marshal to come and save me from
fire marshal Hattie.
I think, you know, it really has been helpful. Reading a lot of Jeb Blunt's books lately and listening to them on Audible, and then having him in person on our episode, which you guys can go listen to, because it's just those little things that keep me moving forward and really looking at objections in every sales call that I make as just a challenge rather than an actual like attack on my person. You know, that's what really happens a lot. So I've just been on the phone really growing, I'll call it.
Well, you know, I mentioned in this episode, they'll hear me talk about it, is that I had something blowing up on LinkedIn. Someone had tagged me about our episode with Jeb. And so she tagged me because her question was something like, do you make sales calls? Do you make phone calls or do you do emails? And she tagged me in it because she's like, I just listened to this podcast and tagged me. And I tagged Jeb and said, Jeb, you want to chime in? And boy, did he chime in. He said, in all the time that all of you have spent in this thread talking about sales objections, you could have been making phone calls.
Boom.
Exactly. Stop it. Stop it. Let's see. Is anything new with me? No, we are just busy, super, super, super busy. Training is in super high gear right now and just trying to keep up with that. So I'm about to hit the road for a lot of travel over the next several months to close out the year. So that's pretty exciting. I'm excited.
So the wave, you've been hit with the wave of blessings.
I have been hit with the wave of blessings.
Yeah.
So today on our episode is Gabby Garrett, which she reached out to us about being on the show, and she seems sassy. And we brought her on, and you want to talk a little bit about her, Rachel?
She is, in fact, sassy. And so I had the opportunity to be on Gabby's podcast recently, which was really, really great because, you know, it's a great way to, she realized that getting on our podcast and having us on her podcast was going to expand the audience for both parties. So that was really savvy of her. Gabby is a writer by day and an inspirer by night. She works with top-level entrepreneurs on their messaging, media strategy, and marketing. While when she isn't working with her executive clients, she writes articles in the self-help realm. So she's got some tips on helping yourself today. After leaving her full-time job to become a writer, she learned, grew, and developed into someone she's proud of. That's a pretty good statement, actually. Are you proud of who you are? Just asking, you know, just a hypothetical question. Gabby's passion lies in inspiring the world to chase their dreams, too, just like her. Her work on this topic has been featured in the USA Today Network, Elite Daily, Apartment Therapy, Tiny Buddha, and Elephant Journal, and more. You can read more about her adventure in her new mini book called Kicked Out of Therapy, available on Amazon, and we'll include that link in the show notes.
That is awesome. That is she is super, super sassy, just to like let all of our warners know what to expect in this episode. We do talk a bit about all of us, our experiences in a therapy and getting to know ourselves and, you know, how to really kind of get rid of blocks that get in the way of chasing your dreams or closing a deal and listening to the voices in our head. So I think it's an interesting episode. We also talk about, you know, social media channels and where you should be if you're using social media to promote your business. So I think it's a kind of a cool episode, kind of a mashup of like personal self-help and driving your business. What do you think, Rach? Would you agree?
I agree. It's fantastic. And I can't wait for y'all to hear this episode. So let's get on with it. Booyah.
Back to life. Back to reality. Back to life. Okay. This is how we roll.
We were singing OPP on Gabby's.
There you go.
On her podcast. It had been a long time since I had been down with OPP.
That came to me right before we started talking. I got like this weird download that we were supposed to do that. I'm like, okay, whatever. I just do whatever the voice in my head tells me to do.
Really?
That's my problem. I'm always...
Not always. Like I can differentiate them. Yesterday after yoga, there was like this really sassy black lady voice in my head. And I'm like, where did this come from? This is really woo-woo. But I went into the gas station and there was this really cute girl working the checkout counter and she gave me her hair tie. And I'm like, this must be her vibe.
Wow.
Whoa.
Dang. It was weird.
I pretty much try to, I need to stand. I'm a little standoffish with the voice in my head because I've been down many bad roads before.
I guess what I learned with Gabby Bernstein said, your intuition isn't rooted in fear. So like if the voice is telling you something that's not fear-based, then it's probably true.
Ooh. Oh, that's interesting.
Right? Because if like my therapist friend said, if the voice is telling you what like you always hear, so like if you're always nervous, would you leave the house at like, you know, a weird time, then it's not intuition. But if it's something it's never said before, then it is intuition. Like premonition, I guess you would say. Like if you always feel like going to your mom's is going to suck, then it's not premonition. But if you love going to your mom's and you have like this gut-wrenching feeling not to go, then it is intuition.
Wow. That is some deep shit because I just got back from my therapist. That would have been good to talk about.
Therapists, that's a great segue. So Gabby has a mini book called Kicked Out of Therapy. So tell us about that before we get too deep into all of this.
Are we starting?
Yeah.
Have we started?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I didn't know if we officially welcomed her.
Oh, welcome, Gabby. Yeah, welcome.
Thanks, guys. It's all good. So Kicked Out of Therapy, I told you a little bit about it, Rachel. I was in college and I was using the free therapy because free is always in the budget. And I enjoyed it because I obviously love being a talk show guest. And it was just like this hour where I talked to this dude. Me and my friends called him Train Tracks because he would have me do this therapy exercise where he would go like this. And he was like super hippie. He had three fingers. And he was always telling like three fingers on this one hand. And so he was like knobbing it, right? And he was like, now I want you to go back to this like memory in your past. And he would like train track me there. Long story short, after about 6 weeks of Train Tracks, he tells me there's nothing wrong with me and that I need to leave because there are kids that are like coming out of the closet and they like really need this free therapy and there's nothing wrong with me. So he kicked me out.
Let's go back to the three fingers.
Yeah. This dude was like, I saw him in yoga and that's when I could really see it because, you know, he's in like down dog and I'm like, where? I have come across so many people with missing hands that it's like, I don't know if that like... He was like that. My yoga teacher was missing like a nub of her finger. And then I worked with this lady in event planning who didn't even have half of her arm. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
Whoa, I don't even think I want to go there with what that possibly means.
I don't know. But I got kicked out of therapy. So I always knew that was going to be the title of the book. With the book, I thought it was going to be a memoir of like all the funny party things I did when I was younger and like, just like funny stories. What it ended up being was a self-help book that uses funny stories of my family for like comedic relief and examples, because the moral of the book is that like we're grown adults, so we can't blame our family for our issues, but it's helpful to understand where they come from.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm going through this right now. Preaching to the choir.
It is really helpful to understand like when you stub your toe and you yell like fuck, that it's because your mom was really angry. But it's not okay to keep blaming her when you have become an adult.
What if you're not sure you're an adult yet? I'm sometimes not 100% certain.
I don't know. Sometimes I get on these calls and I don't recognize myself. I'm like,
some profound shit comes out. Well, let's go back for 1 second back to when you start to write a book. And I think Gina can relate. She's working on her book at my encouragement.
Yeah, I'm working feverishly.
Well, and I did the same thing that you did, Gabby. When I started my book, I thought it was going to be a fitness book. And I think there's some fitness shit in there, but mostly it's like, it's the gift of recognition. It talks about like this, almost the same thing, like all the shit that happens to you in your life, you have to take responsibility for it and take it as a gift rather than like horrible stuff. But it's so funny that when people start to write a book, it never ends up being what you really thought it was going to be. I've heard that a lot of times.
Yeah. I think you come up with an idea, which gives you the motivation to write it. And then, I mean, sometimes like on the woo thread, like, I don't know that we write it totally. Like, you know, like you get information and then you just like, I've read many stories of women who have like finished their books and then like turned it into a publisher. And then they like go back to edit it and like something completely different comes out. And they're like, that wasn't even the book I was writing.
Interesting.
Up-to-date information.
So going back to the writing deal, I know part of your story is that you had like a real job. And then you decided you wanted to quit that real job and become a writer. So tell us about that story.
So I got out of college right on time after doing 5 internships because I was an extremely hyper little bird. So I was like, I got a really good job. I had gone, there was a big company where I was from in Pensacola, Florida. And there was a man who started a healthcare consulting firm. So he was doing a speech at a young professionals, a great like little young professionals thing. And I went up to him and he said he was hiring 30 people at the end of the year. So I went up to him and I'm like, hi, I'm Gabby. I'd like to be one of the 30 people you hire. And he was like, whoa. And so he's like, I don't know who this chick is, but let's get her a job. And so they got me a job and I was like so excited. I thought it was a sales gig because there was something in the description that said you get 10% of something. So I'm like, oh, it's sales. Perfect. I'll be great at that. It was actually administrative assistant work and I got 10% of what the company earned at the end of the year if I was something called a high performer. So it totally effed me up monetarily because I had attached like being a high performer to the amount of money I could earn. But the thing is, it was never me who got to make the decision. This is very weird. You had like these incremental performance reviews and they would literally rank you a low, a medium, or a high performer. It was pretty fucked up.
Based on how other people are performing.
based on how like they thought you were performing and based on their perception of your performance, you got money or you didn't.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. And so it really messed me up when I like was hitting like energetic income blocks. Like I would get to like $35,000 and then I would like stop making money. And I'm like, why did I stop making money? I'm like, oh, that's as much as I made at that job that told me I was a medium performer and like blocked me there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I ended up like rebelling against the job as soon as they told me they didn't think I was a high performer. Cause I like walked into the office thinking like, I'm the shit, like this is going to go great. And they're like, so you're a very solid performer. And I was like, what? Like I was so like taken aback. And so at that moment, I'm like, how the hell can I get out of here? So I like make this poster board of like, I would like to be a writer and a yoga teacher. So I start progressing down that road every day. And about a year and a half into like, you know, being consistently told I'm a mediocre performer, I leave to become an event planner. And which was great because I gained 65 pounds at this job because I was like wildly unhappy. So at this event planning job, I was able to walk. I had a little bit more free time. I became a yoga teacher and I took on freelance writing clients. So I started to lean into that poster board vision. And then we moved about 8 months into that job. And so when I moved over here, I was like, I'll just get another job because this vision I'd created seemed very far-fetched. I did not get another job. I got an advertising interview and I asked the cool dude that ran the ad firm for a contract. And that was my first of many contracts.
I love that. You know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there and freelancers that, and I think we've all been there. I think Rachel and I can agree to that. And we know other women in that situation of, I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a job. And sometimes you got to spin that. We know someone right now who's like, I'm going to get a job, but you can turn it into a contract.
Yeah.
Like get out of the job mindset and be like, sometimes I actually look at ads like on Indeed to see who's hiring trainers because that tells me there's a need for training in that company.
Oh, I love, never thought of that. Like, so if someone was hiring like a content person, I could call them and offer them a contract.
Exactly.
It behooves them too, because no full-time benefits, none of that.
And especially if they're having a hard time. I mean, the job market is really tight and you look at from a recruiter standpoint, recruiting is so challenging, especially mm-hmm. in today's day where logistically, you know, everything is going through a computer system and a lot of times resumes get thrown out because they don't meet a certain algorithm. So recruiters aren't actually like seeing your resume.
Yeah.
And realizing if you're qualified.
And then you get the story in your head that you're not good at, like people give up pretty quickly in the job market because it feels the same way it felt to be told I was a middle performer. Like yeah. You're like, oh, I wasn't good enough for that job.
Yeah.
My boyfriend went on a job interview recently and he went to this like cool tech company, just like, just to try out the market. You got to go every once in a while just to see what you're worth. So he goes and they're like, he has on his resume, forwarding company initiatives, cause he's a manager. And the dude he was interviewing with goes, what does that mean? Or is that just bullshit? That was like his first question to him. And he was like, oh my God, this sucks. I was like, what did you say? And he's pretty sassy. So I mean, obviously he's dating me. So he was like, I forward the company's like overall mission into every element of the business or bullshit. I mean, whichever you prefer. Then they called him and offered him the next position. He's like, no, I'm not a cultural fit. Thanks though.
And good for him on that, because I think that's another big thing when people are interviewing for jobs or looking for clients, right? A lot of times your client is not a cultural fit for you and you shouldn't be working with that client.
No, because it blocks you. It's like a test, right? Like, are you going to take this level C client or are you going to wait for the A client? Like, I would say that I would rather, you know, wait it out, because I had a sales call today and the girl was just a mess. And like, I, not a very mature client, I would say. It would be a lot of hand holding and walking her through the process. And I'm not interested in that, because she told me she was in England and she said, well, I'm just having a very financially wobbly moment. And I'm like, I don't think it's the time to invest in your marketing strategy, but have a good day.
Financially wobbly moment. I'm going to use that. Yeah.
I loved it very. I loved wobble. That's what I took from the
having
sales
a very financially wobbly moment right now.
Yeah, if I'm in. She said I'm having a case of the financial wobbles, and I'm like, that's cool. That's what I'm going to say next time.
So what you're saying is that you might not be able to pay me consistently. Is that what we're saying here.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not a good first date. So I'm like, well, how can I help you? And I'm like, she had set the cold call for like an hour. And I'm like, after 20 minutes, I'm like, I'm going to stay on the phone for 40 more minutes, bro.
I don't know. I feel like all of a sudden I'm like, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, wobble, baby, wobble.
That's what you should have said. And then just like, what if you just backed away from the camera and like never came back?
We're dead.
Just slowly slide away.
Slowly wobble away. Hey Warners, you have probably heard me talk on several occasions about how much I love wearing red lipstick. Lipstick is just one of those things that makes me feel good about how I look, and sometimes a little extra enhancement to my lips from Dermavogue doesn't hurt either. I've known Dr. Jim Turek of Dermavogue for years. He is not only my doctor who keeps my body healthy, he and his Dermavogue team keep my face looking healthy. And maybe a little younger, maybe. I mean, I love it when people say, something looks different about your face. But they can't really tell because that's really what you want. You want to go to a place that makes your face look as good and it makes people wonder what happened. So what's really cool about Dermavogue being our premier sponsor of this show is the fact that I'm a client, and I was a client before they became a partner of the show. So we're excited about that. Dermavogue has been offering the greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. Opened by Dr. James Turek, Dermavogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing you the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Their patients enjoy only the absolute best in laser technology, including photodynamic laser therapy, hydrofacials, and V-beam laser treatments, as well as the latest fillers such as Botox, skin peels, facials, and more. At Dermavogue, they engage you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic, dermatology, and spa treatments. It's human nature to want to look your best, right? Let Dermavogue help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444 or visit dermavogue.com and tell them that the Women Your Mother Warned You About sent you. You can also find them on our website. Go check it out.
So, Gabby, what you do now, and correct me if I'm wrong, is help entrepreneurs with their messaging and their marketing. So what do you see as one of the most common pitfalls that entrepreneurs fall into when it comes to their messaging?
I think that FOMO is a big piece of it. So I think that you should be on two platforms like exceptionally well, and then have a third that you share your content to. But I find that most people are like on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest, and they're contributing here and they're doing that. So you could say during this like push where I'm like meeting all these awesome people like you guys and doing podcasts, that's one of my channels. It's like, I don't. And then like, you know, I've got like for you guys, podcasting is your one of your big channels, the biggest probably. And then you're on Facebook and then you're on Instagram. But, you know, like Jeannie said, you're on LinkedIn, then that's cool. But you don't need to be on 10 and then your message is so dispersed. It's like, for me, my ideal client is not on Instagram. Like some of the higher end entrepreneurs are, but they're not looking for people like me when they're on there. You know, they're just not. So from a coaching side, from my like Chase Your Dreams business, getting on Instagram is like yelling into a stadium. There's a million of me telling people like, I'm not going to waste my time. So I get on the Girl Boss Network, which is super awesome. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been in there. It's super great. So I posted something on the Girl Boss Network and the exact same post on LinkedIn. Only 3 people saw it on LinkedIn. 28 people commented on Girl Boss in the time that it was on LinkedIn.
Wow.
So I think to answer your question, like test and find out where your tribe is. And like you have different ones for different things. Like for real estate, you might have a totally different 3 than you do for like your podcast and personal brands. But you don't need to be on all of them. Pick 3 and do 2 really, really well, because I would never tell you to pick 1. That's like picking MySpace and MySpace isn't around. But that's not a good idea. But to, like my 3 are Pinterest, Girl Boss Network, and like, you know, podcasting. And then of course I'm a writer, so I have a few guest blogs. But biggest thing is like just putting your message everywhere and throwing it up against the wall. Who are you talking to?
Well, that's why I like LinkedIn. LinkedIn for me is a really good place to be, and I get a lot of engagement and traction on LinkedIn, and I get a lot of messages on LinkedIn from women who follow me, which has been interesting. I got like another one today who was like, hey, I'm a groupie of yours. Thanks for connecting with me. I'm like, I got another groupie. Yay.
And, oh, yeah.
But she hasn't even listened to our podcast. She just found my profile, I think, because of our connection to Jeb. And
that's cool.
And that's cool because then they continue to spread your word.
Yeah. One thing I did a marketing consult like I for my book and like how I was going to build my brand at the beginning of January. And what she told me to do on LinkedIn is to do the targeted search for your target market. So like if you did women like 42 to 49, 70, like you can do all of that. Like you were going to do an ad and then just message all of them and say, love to connect with passionate women and then leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And then just watch them come back towards you.
That's cool. I did have one who reached out today. We all know I talk about trolls on LinkedIn. This was another troll. She's a book publisher. It's like the 10th book publisher to contact me about publishing a book. And this time I said, ugh, I just hate this sales approach. You're the 10th book publisher to contact me. Thank you, but no thank you.
And they want to publish your book?
They want to help me self-publish. It's a book publishing coach, right? Because there's a ton of those. I get hit up on those all the time. And I gave her that kind of pushback and she came back at me. And she's like, I see on your profile that you have a sense of humor. So maybe you'll have a sense of humor with me. I also hate my approach and I would love some advice.
Nice. Wow, that's awesome.
I'm like, I am not in the office right now, but I will give, I want to give you a thoughtful response and I will give you advice.
Gina, for the win.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, I had to do that the other day too. As a matter of fact, there was a girl and I adore this person. She's a friend of mine and I hadn't heard from her in a while. She sent me a message on Facebook that was like, or no, she sent me a text. Hey, how's it going? And I was like, oh, it's good to hear from you. And just like, hey, so super to hear from you. And then a couple days later, suddenly I find myself in a Facebook group where she's selling an MLM. And I was like, man. So I reached out to her. First, I left the group and I immediately reached out to her and I said, hey, I see that you just started this new business and wonderful. But please, please, please do not go and put people into a group without first asking them. I said, there is nothing I hate more than suddenly I'm in this fucking group with everybody talking about some shit I don't want. And
it's a sale. It's a blitz. Buy it today. It's a pajama party.
I said, honey, I love you. And this is the worst approach. Whoever told you to do this, please don't ever do it again to anybody because it's a huge turnoff to people. I have money to spend and I like to buy shit, but I'm not going to buy it that way. You've got to come to me first and say, hey, you know, just build the relationship. And she was like really appreciative of the advice, but I was like, don't fucking do that.
That's good. And she could have taken that really personally. So I'm glad.
I said, I don't want to be mean, but I just want to let you know I've done it the wrong way in the past. And just don't do it. Just like build the relationship. I said, you have a relationship with me. If you want to share whatever it is you're doing, then please do. I'm open. Which she never, like blurted out a one sentence thing about whatever product and because she was embarrassed. But I was like, but just know that I may want to hear about it, but not in a group full of 50 people that you didn't ask, you know?
No, that's terrible. I have some friends that sell products like that. And one of my friends is like not the person I would have ever expected to do that, but she's very good at it. And she really loves the product. And I liked everything about the product except for the lip gloss. But this is so funny. So I bought it from her like a year ago and I bought a bunch of stuff from her because I was like, I mean, I like to spend money too. And the lip gloss literally was like so vegan that my boyfriend and I were at happy hour and it just melts down my chin. And he's like, hey, dude, you're... And so I'm like, oh crap. So this is when I was very much into my people pleasing phase. So I went to CVS and brought her lip glosses and I bought all the Maybelline long wears that match the colors. So she would never know.
Bless.
Now I would just tell her, yo, I love the skincare, but that makeup melts your face.
Give me some chemicals.
Yeah, Ines, I need the chemicals. Sorry.
I can't do that. I'm not hippie enough. I like some chemicals and you know, my face may melt off one day, but it's looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm like, it'll be fine.
Now with your business where you're helping people chase dreams, I was looking that over and thinking, you know, there are so many people out there, and I bet you experience it, that they want to chase their big dreams. And obviously it's probably fear holding them back. But what is it that you do to help people get on the right track to chase what they really want? How can you help them?
So I have a 6-week course that I taught in person. So now I offer it through email, because think about the woman chasing her dreams. It's like, I don't have many men in my audience, but men, this applies to you too. But she's at an office, right? She's where I was. And so the course goes to their inbox, because that's where they live. And then my person, likes to print it out and like do the worksheet, but she can just email me back and forth, because like when you're chasing your dream, one, you don't have the mental capacity to like, I don't know if you guys have ever bought a course and then never gone to the fucking course page, because then you got to log in and watch the modules. Like, cool, great, I'm never going to do it. So it goes straight to your inbox. You can watch the videos or not. But basically what I do is, the first thing you have to do is like, what's going to happen if you don't do anything? Like, if you're listening to this and you're like, I have a dream. Okay, 6 weeks, 6 months from now, if you don't do it, what do you have to lose, is the first thing I ask them. The second thing is writing a permission slip. So you have to give yourself permission to spend 20 minutes twice a week doing this stuff. Like, you can chase your dreams in 20 minutes a day, I swear. But you also have to have the people around you that you're lying to yourself, that you think that they don't want you to chase your dreams, they have to sign it too. Ooh. That's the first thing to get past the fears. Like, a common fear of women is like, my husband doesn't know I'm spending this money. So silly. And so he has to sign the permission slip, or my kids are going to be mad at me. But I do not have like millions of people doing this with me yet. I think I will one day. But I think if you can just spend 20 minutes, that's one little thing every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that is so much further that you'll be. Nobody says you have to quit your job tomorrow. And I know you have 20 minutes. Like, if you stop watching TV or stop scrolling Facebook or delete your Instagram for a month, like, isn't it worth it to like start to cultivate your dreams or make some freaking money?
20 minutes.
Yes, I love it. It's true.
And we all have side hustles, right? I mean, even when you're in the job you love, you get a new passion project.
Oh my God, I always have too many. I'm trying to whittle down the passion project. It's really, you know.
You want to hear about my new idea for a passion project?
Yes. As long as I don't like it, then yes, go do it. As long as I don't jump on it.
You will. I think you'll like it, but you're not going to like
do
it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So it's a little profanity ridden, but so my sister's having a baby. And she wants it. So she texted me, let's make t-shirts that say straight out of the vagina. And let's all wear them to the hospital. And mom said, we cannot fucking do that. You need to have STOTV, like, instead of actually this. And Rainey texts back.
Wait. Mom? Did your mother say you can't fucking do that?
Yeah. And then, okay. Then my sister said, mom, you can go suck a dick. So I'm going to create a book called Mom, You Can Go Suck a Dick. And inside of it, it's just going to be all the weird texts I get from my family, like a one a day thing. Like, my grandpa sent me a text, 72-year-old man sent me a text. His name is Brooks. He sent Brooks 1:1, like a Bible verse. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no one, because I'm the baddest son of a bitch in all of the land. I didn't say anything. I didn't request this, but I'd sent him an article I wrote, and he said back like, I hope you didn't write that. And I was like, I did. He's so mean. I was like, I did write that, Papa. He was like, you sound like desperate, like you're crawling around for attention. I was like, lose my number.
I think
that's my family.
I think the three-fingered man was wrong. I think that you should be in therapy if that's your family.
Right? That's my family. So, like, I'm going to make this whole book about it and just blast them because they're so ridiculous.
Well, I love your idea. I'm not going to jump on it, so I'm happy that you shared it.
it's all not you, like, girl. I'm not like looking for.
I do love it. I think that's a great idea because our families do shape us. I think I told you this, Rachel. So I was in Savannah this weekend, where, and my sister lives there, but I was visiting other friends, and I stopped to visit my sister who lives in this really shishy expensive development. And she told me she would be back from golfing. She's 75. She's much older. She said, wow. She'd be back from golfing at, my dad was much older. So second marriage, long story. She said she'd be back at 1:30. So at 1:30, I arrive and I call her because I have to get buzzed into the, you know, gigantic development. It's like a 5-mile drive once you get buzzed in. That's how big it is. And she's, I said, hey, oh, you're home. She's like, yeah, yeah. But you know what? I don't feel good. I have to ice my hip. So today's just not a good day to see me. And I'm literally just drove 4 hours.
Wow.
To Savannah. And I'm at the gate. It had to be discussed in therapy today. It was a therapist topic. And I brought her flowers. And one of the people that I was visiting, I text him because I like broke down crying. And I'm like, this just happened. He's like, leave the flowers at the guard gate. I'm like, but there's no one there. He's like, well, put a note on it and like flag somebody down driving through the gate and have someone take it. And like, I tried all that. None of that happened. So I leave it like at the gate with the note. And that was on a Friday. And on a Sunday, she called me and left a message. She's like, I don't know when you were here, but somebody came over with these flowers and they were dead. Then they found them dead in the street. And so she felt compelled to go buy me other flowers. So she brought new flowers and your flowers with the note. Thank you so much.
Wow.
You don't know when I was there. Okay.
She was drunk after golf. That's what happened. That actually is probably the explanation. She didn't know what the fuck was going on.
But these are our families, and then you got to go talk about
that's
it.
That's the thing. So I think like my role in life is like, you know, there's a few of them, but one of the things is just like showing people that yes, my family's crazy, and yeah, I did have to do a lot of therapy around it. But it's also kind of funny to, instead of like, people always say like, what do I do if someone really, really bothers me? And I'm like, imagine them as like a cartoon character. Like everything they do is just like a funny blimp. So I actually have a cartoonist friend who I might ask to like illustrate this book of like, you know, of my family, because he thinks they're funny. I actually been sending him the text for quite some time. But like my mom, she has like sweet characteristics and crazy ones all at the same time. She left me a voicemail, and then then we can talk about something else. But she left me a voicemail. She lives by herself, third marriage, got divorced, moved into this little starter home rental house. And she calls and she's like, hey, oh my gosh. So I think my neighbor's a stripper, but I just left her house and I did some sort of drug. We drank a bunch. I flipped upside down in an aerial swing and man, it was fun. Call me back.
Wait. Sounds like a night in my house.
And so I'm like, well, mom, kidding. This is ridiculous. So she told me that when I become famous, she's going to create a lemonade stand style thing in front of every book signing and put, "Want the real story? $10.
That's awesome.
People are like, who's this troll? And I'm like, that's my mom.
That's amazing. Families are, I just had, my family sort of dispersed all over the place. There's 4 kids in my family and my parents are actually still together. And we all got together last week, I guess, last Sunday, not this past one, but, and it was everybody. And you can bet there's always something strange going to happen. Like, it's just crazy. I think in our older age, we have started to come to accept that we're just fucked up. And it's just about, there's some, like, I know that this one character is going to say something completely just ridiculous. And then there's going to be political debate and everybody who has, you know, some smarts is going to not say anything like me. I just smile and nod and pretend I'm stupid like they think that I am. So perfect. But it's just so crazy when you get family together and like, just now I've had enough therapy myself to be like, yep, this is pretty much never going to change. It's just like an older, grayer, taller version of the fucked up shit that went on when we were kids, you know? So
I think it's a combination of, you know, from an emotional intelligence standpoint, you have to be self-aware, right? So if you're like the 3 of us who have been obviously through so much therapy, some of us more than others, I think it's important to recognize, right? Like, you can't blame your parents anymore, right? So that's number one. But it's good to know what happened along the way that caused you to be the way you are and how you react, because then you can like get a handle on that in how you react and how you respond. And even today, the therapist is like, so why didn't you tell your sister you were at the gate? Because I was like, she didn't know I was at the gate. She's like, why didn't you tell her? And I'm like, I don't know. Because she's always been highly critical of me. And like, she made me dig into it.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then there was something else I was discussing that I'm dealing with. She's like, do you realize that you shut down every time there's an issue? I was like, oh, fuck.
Therapy's so helpful for that. Because like, nobody else is going to be able to bird's eye view it like that.
Right. Right. And so when you understand it, she's like, so clearly, why do you shut down? And I'm like, because I have a really bad temper. And if I go the other way, it's not good.
Yeah.
So I just shut down. She's like, you need to start using I statements. I'm like, but then I feel like I'm just talking about myself. So I avoid I statement. I mean, it was the craziest session. But to your point, like, once you start doing those things, whether you go to therapy or you journal, that spending that time understanding what makes you tick is what's going to help you remove the blocks in your life that prevent you from getting to your dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if not, you're just running around in circles. Boom. And I didn't realize that, like, from a, like, a monetarial and sales perspective, like, my grandpa is obviously very critical. So when I work with men, like, I'm afraid of criticisms. Like, I'll either rush through my work to get the result I was expecting, like the negative criticism is what I used to do, like in a self-sabotaging way, or I'll be a perfectionist and be afraid to send it or whatever. And then I realized, like, wow, that's so silly. And same thing with the money block. Like, when you realize, like, oh, that's why I'm holding myself back, it's like, I think Brené Brown does it best when she says, the story I'm telling myself is. And if you just say that, it's like the story I'm telling myself is you hate me. And then you say it out loud and you're like, why would a client hate you? Like, you're just, they're right. Or like, who cares? You're good at what you do. Send it.
But I think that impacts someone's business or job if they don't realize why they're reacting the way they're reacting.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first time it happens, like, you react naturally, like the way that you were, your untrained reaction.
Right.
It's like a dog who, like, goes rabid, you know, like, if they're not trained, they're going to freak out. So, like, when I had a client before I was, like, processed my, like, hate of feedback, that told me, he was a really crappy dude, but he was a good lesson. But he called me and he's like, so I just walked into the office and everyone in the office is talking about how you can't spell. And instead of, like, processing that and being like, dude, that's crazy, I just, like, started crying and I'm like, I suck at my job, I should just quit. And then, like, it was so silly in hindsight. But once I got to know, like, the coworkers of his office, I was like, hey, I got a question. Like, this happened. He's like, Jason didn't even come into that office on that day. He, like, made it all up. But so crazy. But I was just, like, beside myself. And what I would do now as a rational adult is be like, why is everybody reviewing my work and not you? Why is everybody in your office looking at my work? Do you have a question? Do I need to be working with someone else?
And why does spelling matter?
Like, I mean,
I know it matters if you're a writer, but come on.
Come on, dude. Like, if it's spelled wrong, just spell check, put it out. But, like, I didn't put it in the newspaper.
Interesting. And, you know, there's a book that I know Gina and I have read. It's called The Surrender Experiment. And he talks in, what's his name? Michael Singer.
Michael Singer, yeah.
And he talks about, and he has another book that precedes that, talks about the voice in your head.
Untethered soul.
The voice in your head and how that voice is always chattering and chattering. And then he goes further into it where, and this is where meditation and yoga is so powerful, that you can kind of step away from, become an observer of the voice in your head rather than, because, and I know in my younger days, I used to allow that voice in my head to control me and do, like, cause me to burst into tears at everything. Like, you're fat, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're not good enough, all that stuff that your weak self, like, wants you to believe. And now, as I've gotten older, not to say that that voice doesn't show up sometimes when I'm tired or weak or something happens, but I'm able to step away from that mean voice, the committee, I call it, and realize that that's the committee is trying to destroy me, and it's not true. And then you can actually respond to the situation in a better way. But it takes time and takes like realization of like that voice is not true. And then especially in a situation like yours, Gabby, where you're like, that didn't even actually happen. It just was my perception of some guy telling a lie.
It's so, and like some of the things that we're telling ourselves didn't actually happen. Like, I mean, if you've ever blacked out drunk and someone told you did something crazy, then you don't love yourself enough to not, like, do you just believe them? And then you like, oh yeah, I went out. Like, this is like a silly example, but it's like, that's basically what it is. Like if you went out to a party and you like had one too many tequilas and the next morning everyone was like, dude, you were like hanging from a ceiling fan, making out with everyone. You're like, I was, I'm so terrible. But like, you could just be like, I don't know about that. I don't know about all that.
That sounds like my last Friday night in Savannah.
Yeah, you're like post-sister, whatever you want to call it. But I think that's true. I think I call it like the inner mean girl. And if you can give it a voice, like the committee or whatever, like I was calling mine like Crazy Susan for a while, like, okay, Crazy Susan, I can't do anything because of that. Like, then you can start to separate yourself from it.
Oh my gosh, crazy. Oh, that's a great idea.
It's just like, no, it's not.
Give them a name. Yeah. Like in Michael Singer's book, he refers to that voice in your head as a renter. It's a renter living in your head and on top of it not paying rent.
Yes.
But that renter is like sitting there occupying space and you're putting up with it.
Yeah. And it's so funny because the inner critic only shows up when you're out of your comfort zone. So when you're progressing towards your big goals and your big dreams and big income, then the voice is on all the time. Like for me, like as I'm like growing up, like and doing these things, it shows up like, but wait, didn't you do that one crappy thing a year ago? Why do you think you can run a company? And I'm like, shut up. Get out.
And the interesting thing is that sometimes we tell ourselves that we aren't capable of doing something that, like, example, we'll compare ourselves to somebody in our industry that is just killing it to the public. You know, the public opinion is they're killing it. So there's a few people in real estate that I know I've watched for a long time. And I'm like, God, they're just killing it. And they're just so awesome. I've been at this and this and that. And then when you really, really take a look, they're not necessarily killing it, but that's the way that they carry themselves.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that they really are that awesome, but they just believe that they are that fucking awesome. And so then the people that really are awesome sometimes are like, oh, I'm just not good enough. I just can never do that. And it's such perception. Like, how many people do you know that are such a douche and they think they're the fucking shit, but they're actually kind of a douche, you know?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that it really is all about perception. You know, that girl who was messaging me about being a roadie. A groupie. I'm still thinking about drinking over the weekend. One of her comments was, I don't even know you, but I can tell you are fearless, talented, and unapologetically you. And I'm like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
You talking about me? Right? Like, that's, you know, and your inner voice is like, is she sure she got the right person? Right? The point is that people see you that way because that's how you are showing up. But your inner voice, like, wants to fuck
with
you.
With you. It's like there's a guy called, like, Muji. And he says, like, when that voice comes up, he's on YouTube. He's, like, one of the spiritual type of dudes. But he has really great stuff. But he says those are mind attacks of, like, the ego wanting to keep you small. And so to your point, the ego's afraid you're going to pull out the curtains. But once you pull out the curtains, it's just you. And so he says when those inner mind attacks come, just to know that it's a part of your path, to know, like, are you going to elevate past this or are you going to stay stuck? And so when the mind attack comes, he recommends you say, like, I'm here for the truth.
And how do we segue that into a sales approach? Because you are growing a business. How do some of your blocks get in the way that you can offer up to other people, especially women, how to overcome those blocks that prevent them from getting the sale or getting the dream?
I'll say from my example, so I sell like retainer content packages. So people want me to like run their content strategy on a monthly basis. So when people take a minute, like my ideal client is busy. So that's one thing I immediately forget. I'm like, they're not answering me because they don't want to work with me. Like that's what the inner voice says. And that's what maybe a lot of people who are listening experience. Like if your prospective clients aren't immediately answering, you think you've done something wrong. Just like if someone texted you, we need to talk, what are you going to think? Oh shit, I've screwed it up. So in that mode, I think what happens in sales is your insecurity leads the conversation, which makes you a real big turnoff to the person you're selling to, if you listen to that inner voice. So like, if I perceive myself as annoying, which is like my number one story, then I'm not going to follow up on an invoice. I'm not going to email them, and I'm not going to get the deal because I'm afraid of being annoying.
Oh God. It was like you were with me in therapy today.
But it's true. Like I don't want to be annoying at all. Like, and that's so stupid because they either want to work with me or they don't. So like one of my new things moving forward as I close contracts is I get a lot of referrals from one of my cool business partners and I'm grateful, but it hinders me in being able to sell them because they're friends of a friend. So new cold clients or referrals, I'll just be like, cool. The first thing you need to do is my brainstorm call, $333. And then I know A, they can afford me, and B, they're invested. And now I don't feel annoying. I'm like, either you want to move forward or you don't. You have 10 days to decide. Let me know.
I love that. And that's a, you know, I think that's a great approach. You know, for the longest time, it used to drive me crazy. Like, let's have our discovery, your free discovery session, right? And you're like, as a lead generator, but to me, I found that to be like so time consuming and a waste of time. And to your point, if you're like offering like, hey, I'm going to give you this much and it's going to cost this, and then we'll decide if you want to work further with me, then you really are qualifying.
And I think I have to do it. And that's the easiest way for me to get over my blocks, is just to push them through that. And if they're not going to spend $333 for a strategy, then they're not my client, because like, I'm a strategist, right?
Right.
Like if you already have a strategy, just hire a VA. But like, if you want someone to run your shit, then this is for you. Like, I'll tell you, I did that with a referral client, the dentist that I like, oh my God, I did a whole brainstorm call with her. I ended up being on the phone for 55 minutes, which seemed fine for me if she was going to sign, but then she just totally chickened it and never did. So I'm like, I did not get paid for that hour. And I think to get over it, you just say like, the first step costs money. No free discovery calls unless you just like, already paid me. But no way. So it's so free, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Or if I meet you at a bar and I feel like talking to you for 10 minutes before my date gets there, then I'll coach you for a hot minute.
or like me, I'm like, I told that woman on LinkedIn, I'll send her some ideas.
If you would like, and if sometimes you like can just tell, like, this is something I'd like to do with my time, or I wouldn't. Like, what ended up, it always is beneficial in hindsight. Like the woman I talked to that I did the hour call with, she ended up giving me all the fears I needed to write my copy for the brainstorm call. So it's like, we were supposed to meet for that reason, so it's cool. But she kept telling me like, who am I to do this? There's better people in the industry doing this. Why would it be me? And so like, I put all of that into my copy. If your fear voice is leading you, I guess I would just wrap it up with like, okay, is this helpful? Is it true?
Give it a name. And give it a name.
Yeah. Give it a name. The where I got the name thing was from, sorry, Rachel, you were about to say something.
The
Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, she is obviously like a super awesome, successful writer. And she says everything she writes, she has a gay interior decorator in her head that was like, Julia, that was terrible. Oh my God. So she gave it like a whole persona. And that's where I got that idea.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Okay, I'm going to give mine a name. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to come up with something.
Oh yeah. You always know the name. I mean, mine, I can visualize that's why I call it the committee. Like, there's different serious business people around a boardroom table that are trying to fuck with my world. And that is my committee in my head. They're serious.
But, I love that.
But one question that we sometimes don't ever get to with guests that we always want to ask is, what is your definition of sexy, Gabby?
What's my definition of sexy? Good question. Mine personally is silly. So like, you, if you're sexy and like you're confident and you like who you are, then you can be silly. Like, my personality has been described as playfully confident. But you can't do that if you don't feel sexy in your own way. And so for me, it's silly. Like, I'm not going to be the low cut, top, sultry woman. Not at this stage in my life anyway. Maybe when I'm 60, that'll be like my jam. But as of now, I'm playfully confident.
That's awesome. Most people come back with confident as, you know, somewhere in the definition is the word confident.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, sexy is, for you, I guess I would say too, like, your exterior perception of how people see you is, you don't have no clue. Like, you don't even know what you look like to other people. Like, you know, you're saying, like, when people message you on LinkedIn, like.
Yeah. You're like, who are you talking about? Well, it has been so great to have you on the show. We could all have, like, therapy together. We could have group therapy. Gabby, loved having you on the show today. How can our listeners reach out to you and learn more about you and working with you? What's the best way to connect with you?
You can head over to my little hub at GabbyGarrett.com. You spell Gabby, G-A-B-I, and Garrett has two R's and two T's. I have a blog, podcast, YouTube. Those are my three. Like I said, I don't have 100. So just head over there and you'll find lots of resources that can help you if you are chasing your dreams or you want someone to run your content.
Awesome. So go check out Gabby to help you with your dreams or your content, Warners. Thank you to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To connect with me, Gina, directly, or learn more about Pivot 10 results, you can visit GinaTremarco.com. And for Rachel,
you can find me, Rachel Pitts, all over social media. Actually, my main three are Facebook, Instagram, and... I have two that I use a lot. So that's two. But you can find all of my links at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. But you can find me on social as Rachel on Real Estate. And if you need help with lending on your house, you can go to rachelmtg.com. All of our social media links for Gina, myself, and Keith, the mysterious Keith, and some free downloads are on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
And by the way, Rachel, Gabby made a good point of this earlier. One of our platforms is the podcast. So that would be your number three.
Oh, thanks. I was struggling there for a minute.
Okay. So people do find us there. So you can find us there. Reminder, if you have not given us a rating and review on iTunes, we would really, really love that. We give you a shout out. We love to read the reviews on a show. So go and do that. That'd be awesome. Thanks again to our sponsor, Dermavogue, who makes us pretty every day. Or prettier, I should say. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Gabby.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.
This really will get serious soon.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.